الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we have begun reading the chapter the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى آداب المدرس, the manners of the teacher. And in this portion here he's mentioning two aspects of the manners of the teacher, آدابه في نفسه وآدابه في درسه, his manners in his self and the way that he conducts himself and the way that he carries himself and the way that he moves and the reasons why he moves, and likewise his manners in his lesson. What is intended here we will see inshallah in preparation for his lesson. So we have seen likewise in our previous class that the status of the mudarris and the teacher in al-Islam is a great status, and they have a lofty and high rank, and that in reality the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was a teacher. Rather, he was the best of all teachers, and his teachings sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the best of all teachings, and the best guidance is the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his manners were the best manners, and his etiquettes and his conduct, and his etiquettes and his conduct and his way that he was upon sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from creed and from belief and from actions of worship and devotion and servitude, and likewise from conduct and behavior and dealing with those who are close and those who are far, and dealing with those who are relatives and those who are strangers, and dealing with those who are companions and those who are enemies, and in contracts and in dealings in finances and the likes like this. His way is the best way and the most complete and perfect way, and his way is the way that was revealed. وَلَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not speak from his desires. It was only a revelation that was revealed to him. So he is the role model in that. From the greatest manners that he was upon sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was إِخْلَاصُ الْعِبَادِ لِلَّهِ وَحْدِهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, to make the worship sincerity for the sake of Allah alone with no partners whatsoever. And likewise, the reality of al-ilm is that knowledge and seeking knowledge and teaching knowledge, bearing and carrying knowledge is in itself ibadah. So therefore it must be sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah alone. A person, he will learn and he will obtain knowledge and he will carry the knowledge and he will abide by that knowledge and he will teach and spread that knowledge, seeking for the pleasure of Allah and nothing else, hoping for the reward from Allah and no one else, seeking for the statement of Allah to be lofty and high and to be raised, and for the tawheed to be spread, and for the hearts to be open to the truth and to accept that and to comply to the command of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not ask the people for any wealth or any money. And likewise, the upright noble scholars and teachers, they are not asking the people for their wealth or for their money. Rather, they're only asking them for one thing, and that is to believe in Allah and to follow his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is what they call to, and this is what they hope from the people, and this is what they want from them. They do not want their wealth or their money or their property or their status or their position or their rank or their women. Rather, all they want from them is to believe in Allah in the last day, and to go straight and comply to the commandments of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to abide by that, and to honor that, and to respect that, and to venerate that, and to uphold that properly, and for that to be spread in the land. So This first and foremost is the greatest manner and conduct of every teacher, that he must be sincere. And we see likewise that knowledge is ibadah, and knowledge is in the heart. And if the heart is free of sincerity, and it's not, or it's mixed, and it's not pure, then now that great action of worship becomes from the lowest and most despicable deeds that one could fall into. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, to use that lofty knowledge, that's revelation that was revealed from above the heavens, that was revealed from above the heavens, to use that and to obtain this lowly life that is passing and going away. This is from the worst of all deeds. So the teacher that is intended here is the one who is truthful and the one who is sincere and the one who is seeking the pleasure of Allah. Before we begin reading here, we begin with a narration from Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 181. He said about knowledge, ما علم شيئا أفضل من طالب الحديث لمن أراد الله عز وجل لمن أراد الله عز وجل. He said, I do not know anything more virtuous and better than seeking the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning seeking knowledge of the legislation, better than seeking knowledge, seeking hadith for the one who he's hoping for Allah, the one who intends by his efforts the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the case here. Now it was said to him, rahimahullahu ta'ala, لو قيل لك لم يبقى من عمرك إلا يوم ما كنت صانع. If it was said to you, it was mentioned like this to Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullahu ta'ala, if it was said to you that you only have one day left from your life, what will you do? What will you do? And let us think about this now ourselves. If I only had one day left from my life, what would I do? If somebody mentioned this to you, one day left, somebody knew for sure tomorrow death is coming for him, what would he do today? What would he do today? And what would those who are wise and those who are given success, they'll think about the deed that is most virtuous and most beneficial, that would draw them closest to Allah Azza wa Jalla and be the heaviest in his scale. Some may say he's going to fast. Others may say he'll stand in prayer until death comes, or he'll remain in sujood, or like this. Many great opportunities and ideas may come to the hearts of the righteous and cross their minds. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, قَالَ كُنْتُ أُعَلِّمُ النَّاسِ كُنْتُ أُعَلِّمُ النَّاسِ. He said, I would teach the people. And because of the great status and level of teaching and the benefit that comes from that, likewise, because he would have a reward for teaching the people. That time that he spends, those last moments of his life that he spends teaching the people, he has from the best and greatest reward of that. And it's from the best and fastest ways to draw near to Allah and gain his pleasure and his favor. And likewise, after he dies, then that reward will continue for him, for everyone who benefited from that knowledge that he taught them. So therefore, this will be like a second life for him. He will have the deeds of his life while he's alive, and likewise those, that good that he left behind from the beneficial knowledge and the upright guidance and direction and advice, as well, so long as people are benefiting from that, he as well in his grave will be benefiting. So again, this is the clarification of the high status of teaching and spreading knowledge and benefiting the Ummah. And no doubt, the one who reaches this level truthfully, he did not reach there except with hardship and difficulty, and except with patience and with diligence. And this is something that that will come to an individual if he's truthful in his search for knowledge. And it's not necessarily something that he will look for. He will not tell himself, I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to be the imam, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be a scholar. Rather, he will seek knowledge, and he will learn how to rectify his affair, and he'll be truthful with Allah in the application of that. And then the people will see his truthfulness and see the benefit that he has, and they will come to him and they will look for him. And at this time, he will be lifted and raised. He will not look for that though. He will not look for that in this manner like this. This is something that will come as a blessing and a favor. No doubt he would intend to rectify himself and to rectify others. But to become in the forefront in this manner like this, this is something that is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who strive. Our Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he used to mention about this affair, لَوْلَا الْمَشَاقَةَ لَسَادَ النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمْ. If it had not been for hardship and difficulty, all of mankind would have been considered sadat, yani from the best and from the leaders of the affair. But the reality is that in order to be a leader and to be in the forefront and to be the best and have the highest, the most lofty rank with Allah in this life and the hereafter, this requires to bear hardship and difficulty. So therefore, the only those who reach that level and that status, they're the ones who are patient and they bear hardship and difficulty. Ibn Abd al-Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, يَنْبَغِي لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ نَعْلَانِ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ نَعْلَانِ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ. That it's incumbent or befitting for the student of knowledge that he has two shoes from steel, meaning that they're heavy. It's going to keep him on the path. They're going to be heavy for him. He's not going to be able to run away and to leave seeking knowledge, meaning he has to be patient. He has to be steadfast. He has to persevere. And he also has to not try to rush and get down the path too fast. It's not about getting to the end of the path, but it's about being steadfast upon the path. And that death will come to a person while he's on the path. So therefore, he will have the shoes of steel, meaning he'll be patient. And he will go step by step, and little by little, and foundation after foundation, and principle after principle, until he has a great benefit. So that which has preceded, that we have read in the previous class, was with regards to this conduct here. the conduct of ikhlas and sidq ma'allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first trait that the teacher, he must have sincerity and truthfulness with Allah Azza wa Jal. After this, he says, وَمِنْهَا أَنْ يَتَخَلَّقَ بِالْمَحَاسِنِ أَلِتِي وَرَدَ الشَّرْعُ بِهَا وَحَثَّ عَلَيْهَا. And from his manners with himself is that he will take on the beautiful traits and the noble characteristics that have come in the legislation, and that has been encouraged. And that has been encouraged. وَالْخِلَالِ الْحَمِيدَةِ وَالشِّيَمِ الْمَرْضِيَةِ أَلَّتِي أَرْشَدَ إِلَيْهَا. That he will take on those beautiful and lofty manners that has come in the legislation and that has been encouraged. And likewise, those noble and praiseworthy traits and those beautiful and lofty morals and behaviors and conduct. أَلَّتِي أَرْشَدَ إِلَيْهَا. That the legislation has guided to and directed and clarified. Now he mentions examples. كَالْحِلْمِ. Like forbearance, والصبر, and patience, والسخاء, والجود, and also like being generous and kind, وطلاقة الوجه من غير خروج إلى حد الخلاعة, and also having a cheerful face without any going too far and falling into lewdness or falling into a despicable manner, وملازمة الورع, and holding fast to الورع. Al-wara'a means piety, but many times what is intended here is a type of piety that will keep a person far away from everything that is harmful in the hereafter. From everything that is harmful in the hereafter, from the sins and from the actions of disobedience, and likewise from that which is doubtful. From that which is doubtful. This is a word that is used many times to refer to that. The person who has wara', he's far away from that which is doubtful. He's far away from that which is doubtful. And he's somebody likewise that is performing the obligations in a manner that he has taken precaution before he would fall short in the obligations. There are other actions that he's performing. Meaning somebody who has wara', for example, he's establishing not only the obligations, but likewise the sunnah and the rawatib. That's from the aspect of that. So before he leaves off an obligation, he will have to leave off these non-obligatory prayers that come before and after that. Before and after that. So these are like guarding him. And this is the case of the wara'. As well, sometimes the wara' will carry a person to leave off something that's halal and permissible, afraid that it will lead him to the haram. So this is a beautiful trait. Wal-waqar. Wal-waqar. Al-waqar is dignity and nobility. Yani, and that he will be calm. And that he will have honor whenever he speaks and whenever he moves and the way that he conducts himself. Wat-tawadu'. Wat-tawadu', humbleness. Humbleness. And the opposite of that is arrogance and pride. Wat-tanadhufi fil badani wal-libsa. And likewise, he will be clean and nice in his body and in his manner of dressing clothing. In his manner of dressing clothing. In reality, every one of these points here, or every one of these issues here, or characteristics and traits, could be an entire lesson to discuss. But we just go past them briefly and mention some benefits from some of them. The first one he mentions, al-hilm. The first one he mentions, al-hilm. That the teacher, he must have al-hilm. And the people of knowledge, they mention al-hilm is the opposite of taish. Taish is being reckless and moving recklessly without thinking or without recollecting and thinking about the outcome of that which will happen because of one's statements or actions. And the likes like this, he's considered moving reckless without thinking or without reflecting over the outcomes. And al-hilm is having forbearance and not being hasty. Having forbearance and not being hasty in speaking before thinking, or acting before thinking and reflecting, and the likes like this, and being forbearing, and likewise being forgiving, and overlooking the faults and the shortcomings of the people, and redirecting them in the best manner, without causing problems or making the situation worse. All of this is from al-hilm. All of this is from al-hilm. It has been narrated from Ata ibn Yasar. From the Tabi'in, he died in the year 103. He said, "Lam nara shay'an ila shay'an azyana min hilman ila ilm." That we have not seen anything coupled with anything that is more beautiful than forbearance coupled with knowledge. We have not seen anything being coupled with anything else that's more beautiful. That's more beautiful than forbearance being coupled with knowledge. Then forbearance being coupled with knowledge. Al-Sha'bi, he said, rahimahullah, he died in the year 104. Zainul ilmi hilmu ahlihi. Zainul ilmi hilmu ahlihi. That the beautification of knowledge is the forbearance of its people. And that they are forbearing and that they're not hasty. And that they have sound mind and determination and strong resolve. and that they think and they reflect before they act about the outcomes that would happen if they were to speak in that situation, or if they were to act in that manner in that circumstance. So this is called hilm, and this is the beauty of knowledge. And the knowledge, it calls to this affair. And when it's applied right, it will clarify when one should speak and what one should say and how we should say it. And when one should be silent. And how one should be silent and the likes like this. And how he moves and how he stops. Yani, the knowledge will clarify that. And the hilm is the application, yani, in that manner. Because not every time yani, somebody knows something or sees something wrong, it's incumbent or proper for him to say that at that moment. Or in a particular way. Or even sometimes it's not proper for him to say that. It's better for him to direct somebody else to say that. And to think and to reflect over these affairs is from al-hilm and forbearance. Al-hilm and forbearance. And likewise, not responding to the ignorant with ignorance. This is all from hilm. Sometimes the people, they act a fool. Or sometimes the people, they do things that are not proper. Especially, for example, the students. Maybe sometimes the students do not know what is best for them. And they will take a path, or they will request certain things, or they want to study books that they haven't reached that level, or that is not proper for them, or not good for them, or they're following their desires in certain aspects and the likes like this. And the teacher, he'll have to deal with that, and he'll have to correct that. And maybe sometimes, maybe the student will be rude, or maybe he'll be late, or maybe they will not have noble manners, or in the class, and the likes like this. So all of this requires hilm and forbearance from the teacher. And this is the beauty. This is the beauty of the knowledge. This is the beauty of the knowledge. Al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 204. He says, Zinatul ilmi al-wara'u wal-hilm. Zinatul ilm al-wara' wal-hilm. The beautification of knowledge is piety, that wara' that we discussed before, and hilm, being forbearing. Being forbearing. In reality, from the beauty of the Arabic language is that it's very rich. So to say hilm is forbearance, for example, and to be silent like that, this is a very bad interpretation. It doesn't give the words right. And likewise, al-wara' piety. That's why we mentioned a brief definition of that. But in reality, these words here, they have great, great beneficial and beautiful meanings. They have great, great beneficial and beautiful meanings. We just indicate some of them. We indicate some of them. So likewise, it has been narrated by Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, yani a clarification of how this should be performed, yani, or an example of the hilm. He said in some lines of poetry, يُخَطِبُنِي السَّفِيهُ بِكُلِّ قُبْحٍ فَأَقْرَهُ أَنْ أَكُونَ لَهُ مُجِيبًا يَزِيدُ سَفَاهَةً فَأَزِيدُ حِلْمًا كَعُودٍ زَادُهُ الْإِحْرَاقُ طِيبًا. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that يُخَطِبُنِي السَّفِيهُ بِكُلِّ قُبْحٍ. He said, this foolish and ignorant person, he addresses me, and he speaks to me with the most foul and lowly speech. فَأَقْرَهُ أَنْ أَكُونَ لَهُ مُجِيبًا. So I dislike to even respond to him. And he's speaking with such foul and lowly speech, lowly manners, a bad tongue. To the extent he's saying, I dislike to even respond to him. فَيَزِيدُ سَفَاءَةً فَأَزِيدُ حِلْمًا. He increases in his foolishness and ignorance, and I increase in my hilm, in my forbearance. كَعُودٍ زَادُهُ الْإِحْرَاقُ طِيبًا. Just like the oud, the bukhur, that you burn it. He said, just like the oud, whenever you burn it more, it increases in a beautiful scent. It increases in a beautiful scent. So the more foolish the fools act, the more noble he becomes. And the more he strives against the soul, he becomes sharp in that manner. So the people that act foolish to him, maybe they call him names. Maybe they talk bad to him. Maybe they belittle him. Or maybe they're rude to him. Or maybe they put him down and the likes like this. And this doesn't affect him. The teacher with hilm, it doesn't affect him. He doesn't respond like that. He doesn't deal with the jahil. بالجهل لا يعامل الجاهل بالجهل ولا يعامل السفي بالسفة. This is from the greatest traits of the people of knowledge. They do not deal with the ignorant person in an ignorant manner, and they do not act foolish with the fools. They do not act foolish with the fools. This is the case with them. وعباد الرحمن يمشون على الأرض حونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا السلام. The slaves of Ar-Rahman, this is their trait. They walk on the earth حونا يعني بالوقار, with dignity and with honor and respect, and whenever the fools address them like this in this manner, they say qalu salama, and they say words and they act in a manner that they're safe from falling into sin. That's what that means. Qalu salama, meaning they act in a manner and they say words that they're safe from falling into sin. Safe from falling into sin and falling into that which is not praiseworthy. So no doubt this is from the best traits, the most beautiful traits of a teacher. And all of these traits likewise, yani a believer, he should strive to have them. And because the people of knowledge, they're the best of the ummah. And after the prophets, and messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, and after the companions and the likes, the people of knowledge, they're the best of the ummah. When the ulama'a warathatu al-anbiya, that the scholars, the people of knowledge, they are the inheritors of the prophets. And the more they have from that inheritance, the loftier they become. The more they have from the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in knowledge and in application and in their circumstance and situation and conduct and manners, their light is greater and their status is higher and they have a greater portion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, these are some of those traits: forbearance and being patient. As-sakha wal-jud. Likewise, as-sakha wal-jud. And even before that, the sabr, this one is no doubt. No doubt a student of knowledge, he must have sabr, patience. And a teacher, likewise, he must have patience. And the patience for the teacher is similar with the hilm. And he has to be patient in seeking knowledge himself and preparing the lesson. And likewise, in dealing with the situations that he's facing in life, and likewise with his students and that which occurs to him while he's in the class. This requires, no doubt, patience. After this, he said, وَالسَّخَاءُ وَالْجُودُ. السَّخَاءُ وَالْجُودُ, and they're similar, or they're synonyms. And that means that they're generous. That means that they're generous and that they're kind. Generous with their wealth, and likewise generous with their knowledge and generous with their manners and their position. This is the case here. Generosity with knowledge is greater than even the generosity with wealth. But the sakha and the jud and the karam of the teacher is in all aspects like this. First, he'll be generous with his knowledge. If he sees a student who is striving and his heart is open to learning and he's advancing upon that, he'll be generous with him and he'll give him more. And he'll take care of him and look after him. And even maybe give him private lesson or private class. Or sometimes a person he would ask for a particular ruling. And the teacher he will realize that if he didn't know this affair, then in more likely he doesn't know this affair and that affair likewise. So instead of answering his question simply with yes or no, or clarifying his question alone, he will be generous. And he will give him more information and clarify more issues related to that topic that probably he must not know likewise based upon his question. So he'll be generous like this. But likewise with wealth as well. The teacher, he will buy books for his students. He'll provide that for them. Or he will help them in this manner like this. Or he will make efforts to encourage them, making prizes. Or he'll take them, for example, on excursions. And he'll be the one to pay for that. And he'll be the one to take care of that. Or he will spend time with them and he will invite them and eat with them sometimes and the likes like this. And he will spend his money on his students. And this is something that we've seen, alhamdulillah, in Medina, from the scholars of Medina specifically, and likewise in Ar-Riyadh as well, and in Samita. In Samita, there was not a class Sheikh Abdul Muhsin he would have, except that the books would be brought. 500 books or more and the likes like this. And every student, he would get one for free. He would not pay for it. Sahih Muslim, we get it for free. Sahih Bukhari, we get it for free in the beginning of the class. Likewise, in Sheikh Abdul Razak, his class, whenever he starts a new book, the books are paid for. They'll be brunt. If you're late, maybe you have to buy the book. If you're late, you come late and they're all gone, and you quickly, maybe you'll have to buy the book. But many times, they'll give the book. The book will be distributed. They'll pay for that. I remember now at this moment that Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, he won a prize. He won a prize in Saudi Arabia for knowledge and the likes like this, and he got a great amount of money, and that was all distributed to his students. And alhamdulillah, wallahu a'lam, I was from them. Even every year, for the students that did not have enough finances, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin in his class, it would be announced. It would be announced every year, and in the end of the class, in a particular class, the reader, he would say that whoever from the students is needy and they're needing help and the likes like this, then you write your name. Then you write your name and you write your number like this, and then you pass it up. And then after some time, maybe a few weeks would go by, and then the sheikh, one of the helpers of the sheikh, he would distribute money to every individual. One time we maybe got like 800 riyals. Another time 500 riyals. Another time 300 riyals. And every year he's giving money like this. Just like this, we didn't ask for it. Nobody asked for it. It's the way of the Sheikh. Then he looks out for the students like this, and he cares for them. And he looks for those who are needy and in help, and he gives them yearly. The mukafa of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin. Hafidhullah Ta'ala. And likewise, we've seen the same thing from the scholars in Riyadh, from the likes of Sheikh Ali Haddadi, that they look out for the students. They take care of the students. You can't buy anything in their presence. You can't put your money forward. They would try to take care of everything. I've been to Samita with Sheikh Zayd and his sons, rahimahullah, and may Allah preserve all of his family. And I never left there except I left with more money than I came with. We came to get knowledge. And whenever we would save our money to go there, it's about 12 hours journey from Medina. By the time we would get there, and we were saving our money to get there and to stay there for a few weeks. And then whenever we get there, we cannot pay for a room. We cannot pay for our food, not our breakfast, not our dinner. And then in the end, they give us money. The last time I was there, I remember the son of Sheikh Zayed, Sheikh Ali, Ibn Zayd, Hafidhullah, he came into the room and he gave 500 riyals. I said, no, I don't need. He gave it to me. I said, I'm saving my money to come. He gave it to me like this. This is for the students. And he said, they look out for the students. One time we was in Sheikh Zayd's library, and he upstairs in his place for charity, and they opened the door. All these books here, just pick what you like. And we're a number of students, maybe 20, 25. Maybe 20, 25 students. Pick whatever you like. He let us go free. We're like children in a candy store. Just look at this. Oh, you got this one. I got this one. Here, you got this one. Take like this. And the point is that the people of knowledge, they're generous. They're kind. They want good for you. They give you. This is a beautiful way from the generosity and the kindness of the teachers. Likewise, to smile, to be courteous, any without being lewd or without being any lowly, but to smile and to be courteous. Also to hold fast to these ways, to being humble and having waqar. Waqar is having dignity and having honor. And stopping at the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal. Like when he's mentioning here, smiling but not going too far. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would not laugh loud. And he would not laugh loud and open his mouth big. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only on a few occasions. But rather it's known that he would smile. And he would smile, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he would not laugh until it's considered something that's strange or the likes like this. So to smile and to be kind in the likes like this, but in the limits. Without going too far, without going overboard. Even the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that laughing too much can kill the heart and cause it to become hard. Yani playing and joking and laughing, yani in a manner that is considered going beyond the limits. With regards to these manners, an example of this, now these beautiful manners here. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he clarified the way they were upon. And this is the way we should be upon. Because Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he's from a Salaf al-Salih. So we want to be like them. They're our role models. We're following their path. Because the Tabi'un, they followed the Sahaba. And the Sahaba, they followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we want to be upon their way. With regards to this knowledge, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he says, كَانَ الرَّجُلُ يَطْرُبُ الْإِلْمَ فَلَا يَلْبَثُ أَنْ يُرَى ذَلِكَ فِي تَخَشُّعِهِ وَهَدِيهِ وَلِسَانِهِ وَبَصَرِهِ وَيَدِهِ. He said that indeed a man, he would begin to seek knowledge. And in his day, he would begin to seek knowledge, and it would not be long, and you would see that. That would be seen. That knowledge would be seen in his humbleness, and in his manners, and his demeanor, and his conduct, and in his tongue, and his eyes, and in his head. And it would be seen in his application. It would be seen in his life. And this is the sign of beneficial knowledge. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ مَا حُفِظُ. Ilm, the knowledge, the real knowledge, is not that which is memorized. It's not by memorizing a whole lot of stuff. No doubt memorizing is from knowledge. No doubt about that. But that's not the reality of knowledge. He says, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ بِمَا حُفِظُ. الْعِلْمُ مَا نَفَعَ. He says, الْعِلْمُ مَا نَفَعَ. But knowledge is that which is beneficial. So the one who truly has knowledge, and that has benefited from his knowledge, he's the one that knowledge benefits him. And that knowledge is seen in his conduct, is seen in his manners, is seen in his behavior, is seen in the way that he carries himself, is seen in his honor and respect for the command of Allah, and his veneration for the prohibitions of Allah, and that these are major in his heart. And he takes the sacred rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seriously. And if they're violated, this is something that bothers him, and he does not like that. Whether this is something that is held high in his heart. Any of these, the commandments and the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the case here. We have seen before the issue of ikhlas and the importance of that. These manners here, they must be with ikhlas. He's patient, he's forbearing with the students and the likes like this. Not because he hopes from something from the student. Not because he hopes something from the parent of the student. or the likes like this, because he's hoping for the reward from Allah. So now all of these other matters here, they must be sincerely for the sake of Allah. And I remind of that statement that was in the previous class, which has been repeated a number of times, alhamdulillah. But it's very important to ponder and to reflect over by Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. He died in the year 161. He said, "Inna akbaha al-ragba an tutlab al-dunya bi amr al-akhirah. Inna akbaha al-ragba an tutlab al-dunya an tutlab al-dunya bi amr al-akhirah." The most disgusting desire that can come in the heart of a person is that he will seek the worldly life with the deeds of the hereafter. And from the greatest deeds of the hereafter is knowledge. It's knowledge. Rather, the foundation of every deed that's really for the hereafter is knowledge. It's knowledge. So to use the knowledge to seek the worldly life is from the lowliest of all affairs. And this is a sign of a dead heart. This is a sign of a dead heart. Al-Hassan, he has been asked about this likewise, rahimahullah. He says, "Ma aqubatul alim?" What is the punishment of the scholar? I need a teacher, huh? What is the punishment? What is the punishment of the scholar? Qala, mawtul qalbi. He said, the death of the heart. The death of the heart. What is the punishment of the scholar, of the person of knowledge, or the teacher? The death of the heart. It was said to him, وَمَا مَوْتُ الْقَلْبِ. It was said to him, what does that mean? What is the death of the heart? قَالَ طَلَبُ الدُّنْيَا بِعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. طَلَبُ الدُّنْيَا بِعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. That a person now, he will start seeking the worldly life by the deeds of the hereafter. That he will start seeking the worldly life by the deeds of the hereafter. This is the sign that his heart is dead. This is a sign that the Adam who has the knowledge which brings life to the heart, knowledge which brings life to the soul, knowledge which brings life to the ummah, that his heart himself is dead. He's carrying that means of life, but his heart himself is dead. What is the punishment for that? And the sign of that he will start seeking the worldly life by the actions of the hereafter. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. After this, he says, وَمِنْهَا الْحَذَرُ مِنَ الْحَسِدِ وَالْرِيَاءِ وَالْإِعْجَابِ وَتَسْكِيَةِ النَّفْسِ وَازْدِرَاءِ النَّاسِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا دُونَهُ بِدَرَجَاتِ. He said, and from those manners of the teacher, and that he must abide by himself, is that he must be cautious. That he must be cautious from jealousy and envy. That he must be cautious from jealousy and envy, and from showing off, wanting to be heard, wanting to be seen. And he must be cautious likewise from being amazed with himself, with his knowledge, with his deeds. And he must be cautious from praising himself and becoming self-righteous. And he must be cautious likewise with belittling the people, which is based upon what has preceded. When these affairs occur here, a person, he becomes jealous, a person, he starts showing off, and a person becomes amazed with himself, and he begins to praise himself. What does he do? He starts to belittle others. He starts to look down on others. He starts to take advantage of others. He starts to use others and the likes like this, and he considers them insignificant. And he considers them insignificant, and from his greatest traits now is that he will manipulate and he'll play with words. He'll manipulate and play with words. And this is a foul way. A foul way. وَإِنْ كَانُوا دُونَهُ بِدَرَجَاتِ. Even if they were lesser than him. And in a great manner. So these now, in the previous portion, he's mentioning the praiseworthy traits. And the noble traits, and the encouragement to apply them and abide by them. And to have these beautiful traits of sincerity and forbearance and patience and humbleness and not being hasty and taking things easy and the light and dignity and honor and nobility and being calm and collective. All these traits here, these are the beautiful and the virtuous traits that he must apply and abide by. Now he's mentioning the opposite of that, contrary to that. Also, there are traits he must avoid and stay away from. From the most important, al-hasid. He began with this one likewise, wallahu alam, because this one, it is found a lot in knowledge. Hasid is found a lot in knowledge, and it is very apparent and widespread and seeking knowledge, especially amongst peers, no matter what level they are. No matter what level they are. And seeking and the jealousy has been found in the greatest of scholars. In our previous dawra, we have seen in the biography of Imam al-Bukhari and the affairs that happened to him. And the troubles that befell him, and the foundation of that was jealousy. It happened between the two of the greatest imams of the Sunnah. Both of them are great imams of the Sunnah, Imam al-Bukhari, and likewise the one who had jealousy and the problems that occurred because of that. But the point is that this is something that the people are not safe from. Not the people of knowledge, not the students of knowledge, and not even the layman. But it's even more apparent in knowledge and their peers in this manner like this. If a person is in the very beginning stage, you'll find them competing with each other. One of them maybe who'll be jealous of the other, who have envy of the other, and the likes like this. And as the levels go, it's similar. It's similar. So this is something that this people of knowledge, they have to strive to remove. And the scholars, they say, Al-Hasud Aduun Ni'mah. Al-Hasud Aduun Ni'mah. He's the enemy of blessings. So this is a foul trait for many aspects. He's the enemy of blessings, the one who has jealousy. The one who has jealousy. And to summarize, the reality of jealousy is to dislike others having good. Somebody dislikes seeing good in his brother, this is called hasid. This is called hasid. The fact that he disliked that, he sees that people memorize more than him, or learning more than him, or having more students than him, or more likes or more followers than him, or having more money than him, or more family than him, or a better car than him, or a better home than him. And even if it's not better than him, just the fact that he has it, and he doesn't like that. And he doesn't like that. Just the fact that he sees somebody having some good, and then he doesn't like that, that's called hasid. That's called hasid. And this is any from the lowly traits. And likewise, showing off. Showing off and wanting to be heard. All of these here are from the major sins of the heart that he mentioned previously. It's an obligation to learn about them and to learn how they occur and to learn how they're cured and how they are removed and how they are removed. So after this, he continues, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّهُ إِذَا تَرَخَّصَ فِي أَمْرٍ جَائِزٍ وَخِيفَ أَنْ يُظَنَّ خِلَافُهُ أَنْ يُخْبِرَ أَصْحَابَهُ وَمَنْ يَرَاهُ حَقِيقَةَ ذَلِكَ الْفِعْلِ لِيَنْتَفِعُوا وَلِأَلَّا يَأْثَمُوا بِظَنِّهِمَ السَّيِّئِ. So he says, likewise from the manners of the teacher, is that if he takes the license for something, meaning he does something that is contrary to what is normal. He does something that is contrary to what is normal, well known amongst the students or amongst the people. And normally the proper thing to do or to say would be this. And he does something contrary to that, that the people may consider to be strange, or that the people may consider to be wrong, or the likes like this, or the people may misunderstand any his action or his statement. If he does something like this, he's afraid that somebody may think in this manner about him, then he would inform his companions, or he would inform the people who sees him, and the reality of why he did that. He would inform them the reality of why he did that. He mentioned two reasons likewise. The antafi'u, first so that they can benefit from that, so that they can learn that this is a reason, an excuse, and that what he did is proper, and there's a proof for that, so on and so forth. And likewise, لِأَلَّا يَأْثَمُوا بِظَنِّهِمَ السَّيِّئِ. And also so they will not fall into sin by having bad thoughts about a believer. And the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, the examples of this is in Bukhari and Muslim. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Ramadan, he's walking with Safiya when he's making an i'tikaf. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Safiya radiallahu anha, his wife, came to visit him, and he's walking her back to her house. And then some companions, they walk by, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, عَلَى رِسْلِكُمْ إِنَّهَا Safiya. He said, calm down, this is Safiya, this is my wife. And then they said, no, you, even the Messenger of Allah, you think that we would think bad about you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this time, he said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ لِيَجْرِي مِنْ بِنْ آدَمْ مَجْرَ الدَّمْ. That verily the devil, he flows through the son of Adam, yani in his veins, in the place where the blood flows. And meaning he whispers and he flows in this manner, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. So here the scholars, they derive the likes of this ruling. So if a person, he did something that could be misunderstood, and it could be misunderstood and then considered blameworthy, but it's not in reality. He has an excuse. He has a legitimate reason. He has an evidence or proof that he's following, or the likes like this, then he'll clarify that. Likewise, the people of knowledge mentioned as well, which is also in Bukhari and Muslim, in Ramadan as well. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was praying with some of his companions, the night prayer in Ramadan, and then more came. And then finally one night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in his house, and he didn't come out. He stayed in his house and he didn't come out. And they're knocking on the door, and he never came out sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to continue praying in that manner. But then the next day, whenever he did come out, he informed them of the reason why. And he said, because he's afraid that if they continued, it may become an obligation and they will not be able to bear that. So the reason why he did what he did, and either maybe they're wondering, maybe they're curious, maybe the likes of this, maybe Shaitan could come and then try to mislead a person in the likes of this situation. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the messenger of Allah, he would clarify. And this is the guidance, and this is what he's referring to here. So if a person, he does something that could be considered or thought or maybe misunderstood, then he will clarify that to the people that see him. So this is all from those beautiful traits and conducts of the teacher. He says, "Al-qismu al-thani, adabuhu fi darsihi." The second part is his manners in his dars, in his lesson. It's mentioned here in his lesson, and fi tahdirihi, yani lid-dars, wa jam'ihi lahu, and as he's preparing the lesson. And this is his manners and his preparation for the lesson. And this is very beneficial likewise, because he has another chapter, adabuhu fi ta'limihi, yani in teaching the lesson. This now is with regards to any preparation for the lesson. So he says, in this portion here, he mentions five points. We discuss them, inshallah, in brief detail. He says, وَذَلِكَ, this is number one. So there's a star there. You can put number one there. He says, وَذَلِكَ أَلَّا يَزَالَ مُجْتَهِدًا فِي الْإِشْتِغَالِ بِالْإِلْمِ قِرَاءَةً وَمُطَالَعَةً وَتَعْلِيمًا وَمُبَاحَثَةً وَمُذَاكَرَةً وَتَصْنِيفًا. So his manners and his dars and his lesson. The first point he says is that he will continue to strive hard. He will continue to strive hard and be diligent and being preoccupied and busy at all times with knowledge. Reading and reviewing and researching and teaching and reviewing and authoring works. So this is his first manner in his dars. The teacher. What should he be doing? This is very beneficial. وَذَلِكَ أَلَّا يَزَالَ مُجْتَهِدًا فِي الْإِشْتِغَالِ بِهِ. That he will continue at all times being preoccupied and busy with knowledge. And his life is knowledge. So this requires for a person who is a teacher, that's going to devote himself to this affair like this, that he realizes that his life is knowledge. His life is not the dunya. This is not his life. His life is the hereafter. This is not his life. His life is the hereafter. His life is in knowledge. His main focus, his whole life, the most important thing, the greatest capital that he has is the knowledge that he has and that he's seeking and that he is striving to obtain and to clarify. So he has to think like this and realize this. The most important thing and the best thing that he could ever do in his life is spend it seeking and gaining and increasing in knowledge. And this is by way of reading. This is by way of researching and going over the knowledge. And this is by way of teaching the knowledge. And likewise, this is by way of researching, going in the deep research and details in these affairs and reviewing and going over the knowledge and likewise authoring works. So the one who has this affair here, yani he has al-muwawaba, al-ishtighali bil-ilm, yani that he's consecutive. And he's continuous, and he's always preoccupied and busy with knowledge. This one, he will be more beneficial for his students. This teacher here, in this manner, he will be more beneficial for his students. And likewise, he'll be more beneficial for the society. And in turn, he'll be more beneficial for the ummah. So he will be striving in this manner, busying himself in this way, increasing in knowledge daily, so that he'll be more beneficial for the people that he comes in contact with. Here on this point, Sheikh Abdullah al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he mentioned benefits with regards to this, being preoccupied with knowledge. And the teacher, the one who is in this manner, he should always be preoccupied with knowledge. And this is his life. He mentions that there's three benefits in this affair. In preparing and being diligent and striving to prepare the dars, prepare the lesson in this manner like this. That first, he will wear himself out in knowledge, and his life will be completely spent in knowledge. Yani yefna nafsuhu fi al-ilm. Yani that he will spend his life in knowledge, and himself, and his soul, and all of his effort, and he'll become weak and grow old. Yani and spend his literally his self and his life in knowledge. This is the first great benefit, and then after that, likewise. That in this manner, he will be ready to answer the questions that the students have. Many times things will come in the class, and maybe the students will have a question that maybe would be considered difficult to understand or to answer, or maybe a shubha or a doubt. on the particular issue. But the one who has made the proper preparation, then most of the time he will come across these shubuhat or these other issues that are branched from the particular issues that are discussed. And the people of knowledge, they have discussed these affairs. And by having diligence to review and to prepare that issue, he will find these extra benefits, and he will find these extra issues and these details and these refutations and the likes like this. And they will be in his mind, and they will be ready for him. And they'll be ready for him if the situation comes. And likewise, the students as well, they will realize from him that that they would have more confidence in their teacher, that he's prepared and that he's ready. That he's prepared and that he's ready and that he's speaking. That he's speaking with knowledge and he's speaking with evidence and proof. With evidence and with proof. With evidence and proof. So this is from the benefits of that. And then he mentioned that and to strive in order to prepare in this manner. And he's talking here again about spending his life in knowledge and being preoccupied at all times with knowledge. But this is for the sake of with the intention to prepare the lesson to teach, to prepare the lesson to teach. So it says that this will not occur for a person except with two great conditions. And the first one is al-muhafadatu ala al-waqt, al-muhafada ala al-waqt, that he must be diligent to preserve and maintain his time. He must be diligent to preserve and take care and maintain his time. What intifa'? What inqita' an ash-shawaghil, and that he must cut off all of the ties and all of the things that will preoccupy him and busy him from his goal and from his aim. So he has to be very diligent to take care of his time and to benefit from his time, and likewise to cut off the relationships or the desires or the things that could preoccupy him or deter him from this affair, or he be considered for the likes of this individual that he's wasting his time. He mentioned another benefit here likewise. And he mentioned that though in these days for a person to be a teacher like this, and for a person to be a teacher in this manner, what he's speaking about, which is required to be able to devote himself to knowledge and to teaching in this way, then it's not possible except by taking some type of salary or taking some type of benefit from the people in order to free him up for his time. So this is something that is known in these days. So he's mentioning this. So since that is the case, this type of individual, he should be very diligent that all of his time now is dedicated to teaching and to learning and to benefiting his students and his community and society. And this is a great benefit. And the one that's going to receive help from the people in order to free himself up for this affair, then he should fulfill that duty truthfully with Allah. And he should busy himself entirely in this affair, in preparation and reviewing and studying and memorizing and going over issues and checking the details and the likes like this, and spend his whole time, because that's what he's been freed up to do. So he's taking help and aid and assistance from the believers in order to free him up for this affair. Then this is what he must do. And he must take advantage of that in the proper way. The second adab that he mentions, وَأَلَّا يَسْتَنْكِفَ مِنَ التَّعَلُّمِ مِمَّنْ هُوَ دُونَهُ فِي سِنٍ أَوْ نَسَبٍ أَوْ شُهْرَةٍ أَوْ دِينٍ أَوْ فِي عِلْمٍ آخَرٍ بَلْ يَحْرِسُ عَلَى الْفَائِدَةِ مِمَّنْ كَانَتْ عِنْدَهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ دُونَهُ فِي جَمِيعِ هَذَا. So he says now that he would not be boastful, or he would not be proud to learn from those who are lower than him, in age, or in lineage, or in popularity, or in deen, or in another science, for example. Rather, he will be diligent to learn and to get the benefit from wherever it came from, even if it's somebody who was lesser than him in all of these affairs. So this person here, he has to be diligent, and he has to be ready to benefit and to accept the truth wherever it comes from, even if somebody is lesser than him or younger than him. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in year 198. He said, لا يكون رجل من أهل الحديث حتى يستفيد ممن هو دونه وممن هو فوقه وممن هو مثله. So he says that a man, he will never be truly from the people of hadith. And he will never be a student of knowledge properly until he benefits from those who are lower than him and from those who are above him and those who are on his same level. And those who are on his same level. And this is an indication of his sincerity and his truthfulness with Allah Azza wa Jal. An indication likewise of his noble and lofty manners. And an indication of his humbleness. Of his humbleness. He has another point that is going to be similar to this one likewise. But it will be more in detail with regards to benefiting from the students. So he says now the third one. وَلَا يَسْتَحْيَ مِنَ السُّؤَالِ أَمَّا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ رُوِيَ عَنْ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عُمَرْ أَنَّهُ قَالَ مَنْ رَقَّ وَجْهُهُ رَقَّ عِلْمُهُ. So he says likewise from the third manners of the person of knowledge in his lesson is that he will not be shy. He will not be shy to ask about knowledge he does not know. He will not be shy to ask about some knowledge that he does not know. And it has been narrated from Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiyallahu anhu that he said, "Man raqqa wajhuhu raqqa ilmuhu." And the part of the meaning of this is that the one who was shy, and he was shy, and he didn't ask the people the knowledge of which he needs to know, and which he has to learn and be aware of. He's shy to do that. Then his knowledge will become weak. His knowledge will become weak. Yani raqqa ilmuhu, yani ضعفَ ilmuhu. من استحيا في طالب العلم ضعف علمه. This is the meaning of this wording. And it has been narrated from Mujahid رحمه الله تعالى that he said لا يتعلم العلم مستحيا ولا مستكبر. That the one who is shy, he will never learn knowledge, and nor the one who is arrogant. So the one who is too shy to ask about something, afraid that people may belittle him, or afraid that people may think that he does not know anything, and he's afraid what the people may say about him because he's ignorant, he doesn't know a particular issue, this person he will not learn. Rather, an individual has to humble himself, and he has to tell himself that he does not know. And then he has to go sit in front of the people who do. And he has to go sit in front of the people who do. And he has to learn from them and benefit from them, or ask them, and the likes like this. And the one who does not know, and he wants to advance upon something, it's an obligation for him to ask. Allah, he says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That you must ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So if he's going to ask, he cannot be. If he's going to embark upon something that, yani, that requires knowledge, yani, in the likes like this that he does not know, if he's going to embark upon something that he does not know, the ruling with regards to that, or the clarification of that, then it's incumbent for him to ask. It's incumbent for him to ask. So the one who's shy to ask, he will not learn. He will not learn. And likewise, the one who's arrogant. And likewise, the one who's arrogant and proud, because his pride will prohibit him from sitting in front of somebody else, or benefiting from somebody else, or any humbling himself before somebody else. The people of knowledge, they add here likewise, وَلَا الْكَسُولُ وَلَا الْعَجُولُ. Likewise, وَلَا الْكَسُولُ وَلَا الْعَجُولُ. The one who is lazy, he likewise will not learn as well. The one who is lazy and he will not take the effort, the one who is lazy and helpless, likewise he will not learn knowledge. The lazy one, he will not be a great scholar, and he will not be a strong student of knowledge, and will not be a beneficial teacher, because he's too lazy to go upon that path. As has preceded, لَوْلَا الْمَشَقَّةِ لَسَادَ النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمْ. Had it not been for hardship and difficulty, then all of mankind, all of them would have been leaders and in the forefront. And in the forefront. But likewise, الْعَجُولِ الْعَجُولِ يَنِي الْمُسْتَعْجِلِ. The one who is hastening. The one who wants to become a scholar overnight. The one who wants to be a sheikh tomorrow. The one who wants to be the teacher يعني, next week and the likes like this. He just began, and he's hastening. And the likes like this, he will not likewise truly benefit from knowledge. You will find this person here jumping and skipping stages and levels. Jumping and skipping stages and levels, and maybe the layman will not be able to identify that, but those who have knowledge, they will identify that. They will see that. It will be clear for them that this person, he doesn't have the foundations that are required. He doesn't have the fundamentals that a student of knowledge or a teacher should have in order to deal with these affairs. He will not have the very fundamentals of that. So from the beauty of a teacher or a true student of knowledge is that he will have the fundamentals of knowledge and he'll have the tools of knowledge. So this requires time. This requires effort. This requires day in and day out, day in and day out. Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah ta'ala, Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, he died in the year 124. He said, "Man rama al-ilma jumlatan, dhahaba anhu jumla." The one who tries to get knowledge all at one time, it will go away from him all at one time. The one who tries to get knowledge all at one time, it will go away from him all at one time. He said, "Lakin bil ayami wal liyali." He said, "But by the nights and days." Any meaning that one hadith today and one hadith tomorrow, in this manner like this, a half a page today, a half a page tomorrow, little by little, and a mas'ala here and a mas'ala there, building with that which is most important and then that which is important in line like this, until eventually a person, he has great foundation and he's standing on some strong, beneficial knowledge. in this manner like this. So the person who is shy, the person who is arrogant and proud, the person who is hasty, and the person who is lazy, they will not be able to learn. They will not be able to learn and truly have a good understanding in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, وروى البخاري عن عائشة رضي الله عن عائشة أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها أنها قالت نعم النساء نساء النصارى لم يمنعهن الحياء أن يتفقهن في الدين. It's been narrated by Bukhari from the Hadith of Aisha, the mother of the believers, radiyallahu anha, that she said how good are the women of Al-Ansar, that shyness and bashfulness did not prohibit them from gaining understanding in their religion. Meaning that these women, they would come and they would ask knowledge and the rulings about things that sometimes a person will be shy to mention, about that which happens with regards to the menses, for example, specifically, or that which happens between the spouses, so on and so forth. Or likewise, the woman seeing what a man sees in a dream, and the likes like these affairs. They would come and they would ask. They would not just move upon ignorance or what they thought, or the likes like this, rather they would ask. Shyness would not stop them from learning, and this is something that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha praised them for this. Praised them for this. So the fact that a person doesn't know, and then he comes to ask, this is a sign that he's upon a good path, and that he's sincere. He will not be shy from that. He will not be shy from that. The fourth one he says, وَأَنْ لَا يَمْنَعَهُ إِرْتِفَاعُ مَنْصِبِهِ وَشُهْرَتِهِ مَنْ اسْتِفَادَتِهِ مَا لَا يَعْرِفُهُ مَنْ اسْتِفَادَتِهِ مَا لَا يَعْرِفُهُ فَقَدْ كَانَ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ السَّلَفِ يَسْتَفِيدُ مِنْ تَلَامِذَتِهِ مَا لَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ. And likewise, from the manners of the teacher is that he will not let his high and lofty status and his position as a teacher, he will not let his high lofty status and his fame prohibit him from benefiting that which he does not know. And he will not become arrogant. He will not become boastful. He will not be, I'm the teacher, I'm the sheikh, I'm the scholar, you're the student, or you're the layman. Like, he will not think like this. He will not think like this. Even if he's from the greatest of the scholars, he will consider himself a student of knowledge. And this is the way of our teachers. From the head of them, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he would always consider himself a student of knowledge. A student of knowledge. And likewise, Sheikh Al-Albani, he will call himself a student of knowledge. And we know their status and their rank in the Ummah. From the greatest of the teachers today. From the greatest of the teachers alive today, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, and he considers himself a student of knowledge. A student of knowledge. And this is something that is beneficial. And to benefit from them in this manner like this, and to learn the likes of these affairs. To learn the likes of these affairs. So the fact that a person, a teacher, he will not let his position or his fame or his popularity prohibit him from benefiting knowledge that he doesn't have. He says that many of the Salaf, they used to benefit from their own students that which they did not know. That which they did not know. And he sometimes, maybe in particular issues, the student, he will have done some research or some detailed information has come to him in particular issues. And then that missed the teacher. The teacher, he was unaware of that. And therefore the student will benefit him, and he will say, Jazakallahu khairan. Jazakallahu khairan. He will have this benefit in this manner like this. And this is something likewise that has been narrated from the Salaf. And it's been narrated that Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, he died in the 198. He says that Sufyan al-Thawri, he died in 161, narrated a hadith on him. He said, I was narrating a hadith, and Sufyan al-Thawri, he wrote it down. He wrote it down. And that's his shaykh. And this is what he remembered from his shaykh. He said, I was narrating a hadith, and I saw Sufyan al-Thawri writing it down. Writing it down in this manner like this. Allahu Akbar. And likewise, Al-Imam Ahmad, he died in the 241. It's mentioned about him that he narrated a hadith from Abi Dawood. Abu Dawood, he died in the 275. That's one of the greatest students of Al-Imam Ahmad is Abu Dawood al-Sijistani. Abu Dawood al-Sijistani. Abu Dawood yafrahu bihana. That Imam Ahmad, he narrates a hadith on his student. On his students. Yani that this particular narration, he did not get it except from Imam Ahmad. He did not receive it except from his student, from Abu Dawood al-Sijistani. So this is something that they were not ashamed of. Whether they considered this a blessing. And no doubt that's a blessing and a bounty. Or maybe the teacher, he'll make a mistake. Maybe the teacher, his tongue will slip and he'll say the wrong thing on accident and not realize that. And his student will correct him and advise him. Or maybe he will say the wrong thing, or he'll have a misunderstanding. And the student will come to him and correct him and tell him the right way and clarify that for him. All of this is possible. And the one who is sincere, he will thank his student. And he will be happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided him with the likes of these students who are strong and who are noble and who are who will correct him and who will help him and put their hand in his hand and go upon the path of seeking knowledge. And go upon the path of seeking knowledge. So all of this is from the beneficial way and the sign of sincerity. And the sign of sincerity. قال الإمام النووي قد ثبت في الصحيح رواية جماعة من الصحابة عن التابعين وروى جماعات من التابعين عن تابع التابعين وهذا عمرو بن شعيب ليس تابعيا وروى عنه أكثر من 70 من التابعين. So he says that Imam al-Nawawi, he said rahimahullah ta'ala, that it has been affirmed in the Sahihain that a number of the companions, they narrated from the tabi'een. This has occurred. In some situations, a companion, he will narrate something from a tabi'een, any from his student. And that a number of the tabi'een, they narrated from the tabi'een. And Amr ibn Shu'ayb, he is not from the tabi'een. And it's a number of, and maybe more than 70 of the tabi'een have narrated on him. So this is examples of that affair. He says, وَثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَرَأَ لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى أُبَيْ بْنِ كَعْبٍ وَقَالَ أَمَرَنِي اللَّهُ أَنْ أَقْرَأَ عَلَيْكَ وَيُسَمَّى هَذَا النَّوْعُ رِوَايَةُ الْأَكَابِرِ أَنَّ الْأَصَاغِرِ. So it also has been affirmed in the Sahihain that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he read the statement of Allah azza wa jalla in Surah Al-Bayyinah, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Upon, he read it to Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, and then he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Allah had ordered me to read to you. That Allah had ordered me to read to you. And he said that this type here is considered a type of mustalah hadith, the major scholars narrating on those who are lower. And there's another point left, but we close with that now. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.